Chapter 36. Eleanor, with a look of horror, turned instantly to leave the room, but was stopped by Willoughby's swift advance. "Miss Dashwood, for half an hour, for 10 minutes, I entreat you to stay." "No, sir," she replied firmly, "your business cannot be with me." "Believe me, my business is with you, and only you," said Willoughby. "With me?" said Eleanor, in utter amazement. "Then please be quick. I have no time to spare." "Your sister is out of danger. I heard it from the servant. God be praised. But is it true? Is it really true?" At first Eleanor would not speak. He repeated his inquiry with greater eagerness. "For God's sake, tell me, is she out of danger, or is she not?" "We hope she is," Eleanor responded. "Tell me honestly," he continued, "do you think me most a knave or a fool?" Eleanor looked at him with greater astonishment than ever, and thought he must be drunk. "What is it you mean by this unexpected visit?" she demanded. "I came from London this morning to offer some kind of explanation, some kind of apology. I wished to convince you that though I have always been a blockhead, I have not always been a rascal, and to obtain something like forgiveness from your sister. Will you listen to me?" Eleanor agreed, and waited for his explanation. "When I first met your sister, I had no other intention than to pass my time pleasantly while I was obliged to remain in Devonshire. At first I was careless of her happiness, and thought only of my own amusement. I endeavoured to make myself pleasing to her, without any intention of returning the affection. It is hardly worth while, Mr. Willoughby, for you to talk, or for me to listen any longer," said Eleanor angrily. "Do not make me hear any more." "I insist that you hear the whole of it," he replied. "My fortune was never large, and I have always had expensive habits. The death of my old cousin, Mrs. Smith, may set me free from my debts, but she may live for a long time yet, and so for some time it has been my intention to marry a woman of fortune. It was therefore never possible that I could marry your sister. When I met her, my behaviour was selfish and vain. I did not know what it was to love. But gradually I found myself sincerely fond of her. The happiest hours of my life were what I spent with her. Despite her lack of fortune, I had determined to justify the attentions I had paid to her by asking her to marry me. But then an unlucky circumstance occurred to ruin all my resolution. Mrs. Smith had somehow or other been informed of an affair which took place, but I need not explain myself further. You have probably heard the whole story long ago." "I have heard it all," said Eleanor, "and I cannot imagine how you can explain away your guilt in that dreadful business." "Remember who told you that story," cried Willoughby. "Could he really be impartial? I do not mean to justify myself, but Eliza also was no saint. Her affection for me deserved better treatment, but believe me, I did not know the circumstances she was in, or that she did not have my address. A little common sense might have told her how to find it out." "Well, sir, and what said Mrs. Smith?" "She offered to forgive me if I would marry Eliza. That could not be, and so I was dismissed from her favour and from her house. I had to leave the next morning. I spent the next night deliberating about my future conduct. The struggle was great, but my affection for Marianne and my thorough conviction of her attachment to me was not enough to outweigh my dread of poverty. I had reason to believe that my present wife would marry me, and persuaded myself that I had no alternative. Before I left Devonshire, I went to see Marianne, and I left her miserable. The sight of your sister was really dreadful. Her sorrow, her disappointment, her deep regret, when I told her that I had to leave Devonshire immediately, I shall never forget it. And yet she still had such confidence in me." "Did you tell her that you would soon return?" asked Eleanor. "I do not know what I told her," he replied impatiently. "Then came your mother to torture me further with her kindness. I was utterly miserable, and I deserve it, for the stupid, rascally folly of my own heart. I went away to London and left all that I loved behind me. Well, sir, said Eleanor, who, though she was now pitying him, was impatient for him to leave. Is that all? All? No. Have you forgot what passed in town? That infamous letter? Did she show it to you? Yes, I saw every note, Eleanor replied. When I received the news that she was in town, it was like a dagger to my heart. I felt that she was dearer to me than any other woman in the world, and that I was using her infamously. But everything was now settled between Miss Grey and me, so I avoided you both. For a while I sent no answer to Marianne, and then, one morning, I watched you all leave the house and left my card. You would be surprised how often I watched you. Almost every day I caught a glimpse of you, and I had to be careful to stay out of your sight. If you can pity me, pity my situation as it was then. I thought of Marianne every moment of the day, but I was forced to play the happy lover to another woman. Well, eventually I could avoid you no longer, and we met at that party. What an evening of agony that was for me. Marianne, beautiful as an angel, calling me Willoughby in such a tone, holding out her hand to me, asking for an explanation for my appalling behaviour. And Sophia, jealous as the devil. I ran away from you all as soon as I could, but not before I had seen Marianne's sweet face as white as death. That was the last look I ever had of her. But the letter, Mr. Willoughby, have you anything to say about that? Yes, that letter. What do you think of my wife's style of letter writing? It was in my handwriting, but the words were all hers. But what could I do? Our wedding was in preparation, and to be honest, her money was necessary to me. So I copied my wife's words, and parted with the last relics of Marianne. I was forced to return her letters, and the lock of her hair. You are very wrong, Mr. Willoughby, very blameworthy, said Eleanor, despite feeling compassion for him at that moment. And you have made your choice. You have proved yourself less wicked than I thought, but you have caused such misery that you could not have made my opinion any worse. Will you tell your sister what I have told you when she has recovered? Please tell her of my misery and my penitence, and that she is dearer to me now than ever. I will tell her all that is necessary for her to know, answered Eleanor. Well, now there is no use in me staying here. I must be off. And you do think something better of me than you did? He pleaded. Eleanor assured him that she forgave him, pitied him, and wished him well. I shall now live in dread of one event, continued Willoughby. Your sister's marriage. She will be gained by someone else. And if that should be the very person whom I could least bear. But I should not continue. I must go. Goodbye. God bless you. And with these words, he almost ran out of the room.